Hey, welcome into Positive Light, where we bring a positive influence into this world and into your life. And I'm Bob Miles. And today's subject is on, you were made by God. And Rick Warren states, you were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. The Bible says everything that God has made, He made it simply in order to love it. You were made in order for God to love you. That is why you exist. If God didn't want to love you, you wouldn't exist. Everything in the universe, God made it to love it. The Bible says God created the universe because He wanted a family to love. So He created the universe so He could create the human race so He could love us, knowing that some of us would choose to love Him back. Then we would live with Him forever and ever in eternal family in heaven. God made you. You were fashioned in His own image. You were made in the image and likeness of the Creator. God had a purpose in making you. His primary purpose is that you would have fellowship with Him. If man does not have fellowship with God, he is lost, confused, and bewildered. Since he does not find his place, he has a sense of not fitting. There are thousands of people who admit and confess that they are unhappy. Economic security, recreation, pleasure, and good community in which to live have not brought about the peace and happiness that they expected. The reason is that man was created in image of God and cannot find complete rest, happiness, and joy, and peace until he comes back to God. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, out of 1 John 1:3. You are no accident. God chose you. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, Ephesians 1:4. So from time to time, someone says, and I have said, my parents didn't plan me. I was an accident no one expected. People and myself have used this as an excuse for not accepting more responsibility in life, claiming that they are accidents who came into this world by mistake and aren't even supposed to be here. Well, I want to tell you that even though we may have been a surprise to our parents, we were not a surprise to God. The Bible teaches that long before you and I were ever conceived in our mother's wombs, God already knew us and was calling us to be His children with a special purpose to fulfill in this world. In Psalm 139, 15, and 16, David declares that God's eyes were fixed on us not only when we were in the earliest stages of being formed in our mother's womb, but even before we were conceived. David said concerning himself and us, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did not see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So according to David, God knew us when we were nothing more than mere substance. In the earliest stages of being formed in our mother's wombs, God was so inactly aware of us that He took note as our arms, hands, fingers, legs, feet, and toes were being formed. In fact, this verse says He even knew us when as yet thee was none of them in existence. Think of it. Long before we were conceived, God already knew of us. And by faith, He could see us being conceived, formed, and born into this world. This means there isn't a single human being on the earth who was a surprise to God. And that includes you and me. Those of us who are believers were also saved by no accident. Paul writes, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. The word chosen in Greek is eklego, a compound of the words ek and lego. The word ek means out, and the word lego means I say. So together, these words literally mean out, I say. It can also mean to call out, to select, to elect, or to personally choose. In classical Greek writings, this word eklego referred to a person or a group of people who were selected for a specific purpose. For example, the word eklego was used for the selection of men for military service. It was also used to denote soldiers who were chosen out of the entire military to go on a special mission or to do a special task. Finally, it was used for politicians who were elected by the general public to hold a public position or to execute a special job on behalf of the community. In every case where the word eklego is used to portray the election or selection of individuals, it conveys the idea of the great privilege and honor of being chosen. It also strongly speaks of the responsibility placed on those who are chosen to walk, act, and live in a way that is honorable to their calling. Because of the great privilege of being elected to a higher position or selected to perform a special task, those who are chosen bear a responsibility to walk and act in accordance with the calling that has been extended to them. They should look upon themselves as chosen, honored, esteemed, and respected, special representatives of the one who elected them. So when Paul says that God hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, he is saying that God looked out to the horizon of human history, and he saw us. And when God saw us, his voice echoed forth from heaven, "Out, I say." In that flash, our destinies were divinely sealed. We were separated by God from a lost and dying world, and he called us to be his own. Just as the word eklego is classical Greek times depicted the military selection of young men to leave their homes and come serve in the military, God looked out at the human race and personally selected, elected, and specially chose us to come away from the world and be permanently enlisted as his sons and daughters. Now, as children of the King, we bear the awesome responsibility of walking worthily of the high calling we have received. Look at when the selection took place. Paul says it occurred before the foundation of the world. The word foundation is the Greek word katabol or katabole, a compound of the words kata and bol. The word kata means down and the word bol means to hurl or to throw. These two words together mean to forcibly hurl something down, and it refers to the act of creation. Thus, before God ever spoke the earth into existence, before his booming voice ever called out for the first layers of the earth's crust to be put into place, he had already spoken our names. He selected and elected us before they were the very first layers of the earth was created. In light of the Greek meaning, Ephesians 1:4 could be phrased out to read like this. When God saw us, he said, "Out, I say." In that moment, he separated us from the rest of the world and enlisted us in his service. And think of it, he did all of this before he ever hurled the first layers of the earth's crust into existence. So if your flesh ever tries to rant and rave that you're not worthy enough to be used or that you're just an accident, you need to take authority over your flesh and tell it to shut its stupid mouth. Then you need to declare, "God chose me and he planned a great future for me. He wants to use me. I'm not going to listen anymore to this foul garbage from my lying flesh and unrenewed emotions. I have an awesome destiny. In fact, I'm a significant part of God's plan." So did you know you and I were custom made by God? Our great God and Savior knows everything, is everywhere, and is all powerful. The Lord God knows me because he made me. And since he made me, I am responsible to him for my actions. That's probably the biggest reason why people do not want to accept the fact that God created them. But whether a person acknowledges the facts about creation or not, he or she will still have to answer to him personally. David observed that the Lord God formed me my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb, out of Psalms 139. Our Creator not only created the first man, Adam, but he continues to create. There is not another person on the face of the earth with the same genes, DNA, and chromosomes. I am a unique person, custom made by God for a specific person in history. No one else can fulfill that purpose in history. No one else can fulfill my purpose. God's dealings with you and me are not duplicate, or his dealings with anyone else in time and space. It is unique to me because I am unique. There is no one else like me. A person who wants to be something different from God's purpose for him is like a cancer cell. We become like cancer cells to the body of Christ when we want to be like someone else and not what God wants us to be. God deals with each child differently. We do not trust Him when we ask that our experience duplicate someone else's. No one is inferior or unspiritual because his or her experience is not just like someone else's. Thank God that you are who you are. His resources have already been revealed in creating you. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Again, out of Psalm 139. Have you thanked God for making you just the way you are? My framework was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I worship a God who knows me and is near to me. He created me for today. There's only one me. I am a pattern that God will never use again. And all the time to come, there will never be another me. I am somebody. I am unique creation of God. Therefore, I must be found doing the will of God. My responsibility is not to seek the praise of men, but to be what God made me. Have you considered who you are in God's eyes? Have you, in humility, thanked Him for making you so wonderfully complex? The Lord's work is marvelous. David catches his breath and declares, "How precious also are your thoughts to me. O God, how vast the sum of them. How weighty are your design. How immeasurable your concepts are. How hard it is to grasp your thoughts. How deep I find your thoughts. How precious and weighty. How odd that in our day the U.S. government and the politically correct no longer refer to the unborn child as a baby. The fact is, no one likes to think about killing an unborn baby, so it has to be renamed a fetus, or an embryo, or human tissue. God said it is His creation, fearfully and wonderfully made. It is a baby custom made by God. The Lord said to Jeremiah, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations, out of Jeremiah 1:5. Each one of us is custom made by God. So next, I'd like to introduce a song to you. It's called You Are Mine by Tommy Walker, and here it is.
For I'm the Lord, You are chosen, treasured, precious, honored. Do not fear, I am with you. You are mine. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. You are mine. Never leave you. Never leave you. I am with you. You are mine. Mine.
Hey, what a great song. And the words I like the best in that song are, "For I am the Lord your God, the righteous, holy one, you are chosen, treasured, precious, honored. Do not fear, I am with you. You are mine." So remember, you can get Tommy Walker on YouTube. You can subscribe to his channel. He's also at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. And next, I'd like to read you a story, and it's called Meeting God. So a little boy wanted to meet God. He knew it was a long trip up where God lived. So he packed his suitcase with Twinkies and a six-pack of root beer, and he started his journey. When he had gone about 3 blocks, he met an old man. He was sitting in a park just staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to him and opened his suitcase. He was about to take a drink from his root beer when he noticed that the old man looked hungry. So he offered him a Twinkie. He gratefully accepted it and smiled at him. His smile was so pleasant that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered him a root beer. Again, he smiled at him. The boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon eating and smiling, but they never said a word. As it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was, and he got up to leave. But before he had gone more than a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old man, and gave him a hug. He gave him the biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his own house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? He's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old man, also radiant with joy, returned to his home. His son was stunned by the look of peace on his face and asked, "Dad, what did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I ate Twinkies in the park with God." However, before his son responded, he added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." Too often, we underestimate the power of a smile. A kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring. Remember, you were made in God's image, and people need to see this in you. What does it mean to be fearfully and wonderfully made? So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. It's Genesis 1:27. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Out of Psalm 139. As you might have guessed, we are spending a lot of times in Psalm 139. That scripture has a lot to do on how we were made by God. And Jennifer Heron writes, "I didn't just evolve into what I am. I was created and designed with a purpose. And the blueprints of me are similar to other human beings, but they are not exactly the same. I am unique, and so are you." The human body is a unique design of multiple systems that all work intricately together. The cardiovascular system gives you the energy to move. The muscular system gives you the ability to move, lift, and hold things. The digestive system processes food into energy and discards waste. The immune system keeps you healthy. The hormonal system determines your gender. The eyes cause you to see. The nose lets you smell. The tongue and mouth let you eat and taste. The ears enable you to hear. And your skin enables you to feel textures. You have the ability to encounter an incredibly diverse world with an equally amazing diverse body. When you were also blessed with a brain so you can think, process, and create. Isaac Asimov said, "The brain is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. Your emotions help you to relate to other people and feel compassion. All of these systems, plus many more, are uniquely designed to make you who you are." So God created you on purpose with love. You have the innate ability to discern right from wrong, although that ability is hindered somewhat until you connect with your Creator. He didn't just design you to do your own thing. He created you so you would desire an ongoing relationship with Him. You were made with a hole in the center of your soul that only one thing fits. Until you find that very specific something, you will never be fulfilled. And that very specific something is God, Himself. You were designed with an intense need of your Creator. God, without a relationship with Him, you will always be searching for something to fill that void. Drugs, alcohol, food, money, sex, material goods, occupations, hobbies, travel, success, fame, and I can go on. These are some of the ways in which we try to fill that empty space inside. But none of those things will ever fill it. They are like round pegs in a square hole. The vacant areas are at the edges will still leave you desiring more of something else. Whatever you attempt to put in there will dissipate because it never completely fills the space. Those things were never meant to fill the space. They never can. Sadly, many continue to shove mismatched pegs into that hole. A little of this, a little of that, hoping that one day they will feel complete. They surmise that this thing over here didn't work, but maybe this other thing will do it. They just haven't found the right thing yet, but one day they hope they will. One day. One day I'll have enough money to feel safe and secure. I'll find the perfect spouse that will complete me. I'll get my dream sports car and life will be grand. I'll be on a television and people will know my name. I'll be the best in my field and people will scout me out. One day will never come. If you're not happy with who you are today, right here and right now, you'll never be happy. You'll never be happy with who you are today unless you begin to praise God for creating you just as you are. People want to look at everyone and everything else before they turn to God. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. At Isaiah 64:7-8. Fortunately, God made a way for us to repent and turn to Him by sending His very own Son to make the way. When you do finally realize that without God you're unable to make the most of yourself, that's when things begin to change. The clay cannot mold itself no matter how hard it tries. However, God, the potter, cannot only mold His clay, but He also knows what His original design of you was. He is both a potter and the architect with a master plan. Sometimes, in this fallen world, people are born with birth defects that disrupt one or more of the intricate systems of the body. God foresaw even those defects and uses them for good when we look to Him, for our weakness are fearfully and wonderfully made. A blind person can develop hearing beyond a normal capacity. Conjoined twins can teach us about getting along with one another, for they have to do it 24/7. Someone born without arms develops the ability to use their feet in wondrous ways. Another born without legs develops the upper body strength to get around smoothly. We all have weaknesses that sometimes make us feel like we are of no use, but God's grace is sufficient to cover our weaknesses. More than that, God's power made perfect in our weakness. Weaknesses keep me humble and leaning on God's strength, which is much more sufficient than my own. So should I always feel like I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? No. Sin and pride always want to drag me back into my own way of thinking. The same thinking that kept me reaching for those mismatched pegs. Those thoughts tell me that I can do whatever I want by myself without God. They lie and they don't even make sense. They say I can do anything, but then turn around and also say that I'm not good enough to do what I want to do. Feelings can't be trusted unless they line up with the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made for specific purpose. Therefore, with God's help, I will walk in that purpose as often as I can. So whether I feel it or not, I can trust God and His plans for my own life. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago, at Ephesians 2:10. So God didn't make a mistake when He made you. You need to see yourself as God sees you. And I'd like to read you a poem by Billy DeWitt, and it's called The Masterpiece. My life, an empty canvas, Lord, I place it in Your hands. All of my paint and brushes are under Your command. Let it tell a story, Lord, every brushstroke, every line, of everything I've gained in You and all love left behind. The time I stood up straight and tall singing, I shall not be moved. Those times I turned my back from the fight and came running straight to You. You formed me in my mother's womb. You knew me even then. Who could better paint my life from where it first began? So when my life is over and the picture is complete, it will be a masterpiece. I'll end today's episode with a question asked to Billy Graham. The question is, who created God? I know you'll probably say that God has always existed, but everything else in the universe had a beginning. So why not God? Billy Graham's answer. Yes, everything in the universe had a beginning, and the reason is because God created it. The first verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Genesis 1:1. Elsewhere the Bible says, "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." John 1:3. But God had no beginning. He has always existed, and He always will. God isn't like anything or anyone else. In the whole universe, God is greater than the universe, far greater than anything we can ever imagine. The things around us get old and wear out, but not God. People and plants and animals live for a time and then die, but not God. Astronomers tell us that even the distant stars and galaxies will eventually burn out or collapse, but not God. God is the one who lives forever, whose name is holy, Isaiah 57:15. This great truth should fill us with awe and wonder, but let me tell you something even more awe-inspiring about God. He loves us. You may feel like you are just a tiny speck in the universe, but God made you, and He knows all about you. More than that, He wants you to know Him in a personal way, and He wants you to be with Him in heaven forever. So do you know God? You can, by opening your heart and life to Jesus Christ. He was God in human flesh, sent from heaven to save us from our sins. If you haven't, receive Him into your life today. So today, when I'm recording this episode, it's Father's Day. I want to wish all fathers a happy Father's Day. And all of us need to wish our Abba Father a happy Father's Day. Remember today for what He has done for each and every one of us. He is our Creator and our Father. And also remember, you were made by God and for God. So my closing prayer, as always, is that God blesses the journey that you're on with Him, and then you embrace the path that you're on. So next week's episode is going to be about overcoming worry, fear, and anxiety. Hey, connect with me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Hope you had a great week. We'll talk to you next week.